Good morning, guys. Today's scripture is Matthew 5:13, page 852 in your Pew Bibles. For you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by man.
I want to say good morning again. Excuse me. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you once again in the name of Jesus. You know better than anybody, Lord, that we are not worthy to speak for you unless you anoint us with your Holy Spirit. Hide me now that you might be seen and heard. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I begin, I want to share something with you. My wife, Chris, and I have taken on a ministry that we want to share with you just briefly in the hopes that you will find that this is something that you will be able to support as well. This is a wonderful ministry. And it kind of ties in with the message this morning. You see what it says, if God said it, he will do it. God is not a human who lies or a mortal who changes his mind. When he says something, he will do it. And when he makes a promise, he will do what? He will fulfill it. This is a ministry in Kenya, and just to briefly tell you a little bit of something about it, there's this gentleman by the name of Ronald Nabenge. Okay. Now, he is director of this youth ministry. They take care of about 75 orphans. Now, normally it takes about $3,000 to take care of these orphans a month, which comes out to about $40 a month. They are on fire for the Lord, which is something that every Christian everywhere should be doing. As you can see, the people, they just kind of go out, and they're all around, and the candidates are in white. They baptize anywhere from 300 to 500 people every time they have an effort. They take care of these kids, and one of the big things that really inspires them are Bibles. Now, you and I kind of take Bibles for granted, don't we? A lot of people have 10, 15 Bibles, different translations. If they get one Bible, they are really blessed. They read English, they speak English, so they also accept books that are written in English, and they particularly want Spirit of Prophecy books. Just to show you some of the pictures here, I'm kind of going through them a little fast, and you can see that they have, at every one of their efforts, a period of time when they pass out Bibles. And that is Ronald right there. Now, I went through that kind of fast, but I want to just say this. I know some of you do support ministries around the world. People in countries like this, even the poorest of us, they think are filthy rich. And that's the kind of economy that they live in. And you know what? It's amazing that living in that culture, having to do without so much that you and I take for granted, they are some of the most thankful people. And you and I can take a lesson from that. If we don't have bread, we panic. If one of our lawnmowers goes out of service, we're upset. If one of our cars needs to be repaired, I want to ask that you would consider, if not supporting this particular ministry, if you would look at the wide mission field. And that mission field is not only in countries, in some of the third world countries, but we have a mission field right here at home, right here in Lancaster, right here in our church. My topic this morning is about salty Christians. And you know, when I was growing up, when I was a young man, which was not so long ago, when you said somebody was salty, what did that mean? Come on now, it's all right if you tell your age. Nobody's going to pay any attention. If somebody said, boy, he was really salty, what did that mean? Crude. He was really upset. That's what they called salty. Just kind of turned the whole meaning around, didn't it? But this morning, it's a little different. What we're talking about this morning, being salty Christians. We are supposed to be seasoning for the world. Imagine being salt. The most common thing that we have in our kitchen, we just kind of take it for granted. Salt is used in almost everything. You'd be surprised. When I was doing the research for this, I found that salt was used for almost everything. Our text says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. When Jesus spoke these words, he had went up on the Mount of Olives, and we know it as when he spoke to his disciples the Beatitudes. Now, present at that gathering were priests and some of the elite of that time. They were learned men who knew the scriptures as they were at that time. But Jesus wasn't talking to them. He was talking to the common people, the people that everybody else looked at as being nothing. Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Now, what does that mean to be the salt of the earth? What is salt anyway? Now, I can't believe you don't know what salt is. It brings out the best in the food. So it's a seasoning. So like influence, right? Would you say that salt is being like an influence? Salt is also a preservative. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltiness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves. This is Jesus talking. Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. And that's taken from Mark 9:50. Here's an interesting fact. A human body contains approximately 0.15% by weight chlorine and 0.15% by weight sodium. And this means that a 70-kilogram human, being about 150 pounds, will contain 0.095 kilograms or 95 grams of each of the elements in table salt. The constituents of common table salt exist as separate ions in the human body, and if we could remove them and reconstitute them into table salt, they would make up about 8 tablespoons of salt for a 150-pound person. Now, that's a lot of information. But what it comes down to is, as much as we hear about salt not being good for us, we are full of salt. 8 tablespoons, that's a lot of salt, isn't it? Now, you wouldn't think that your body would require that amount of salt. So salt is important. Now, sodium nitrate, also called sodium nitrite, is a chemical compound used in the processing of meat products such as cold cuts, hot dogs, ham, and bacon. Ugh. Now, according to the Six Wise website, nitrate is a common coloring and flavoring agent as well as a preservative for meat products. This makes meat more appealing to consumers. Now I want you to kind of concentrate on these words here. This makes meat more appealing to consumers. Unfortunately, there are several dangers of using this chemical. So, let's just look at this as we go along. We have salt, and salt is most effective when it is mixed with nitrates and nitrites. But we also know that those nitrates and nitrites are bad. Now keep that in mind. ingestion of sodium nitrate forms nitrosamines, which are chemicals that promote the growth of cancerous cells, according to the Organic Consumers website. Nitrosamines may contribute to colon, pancreatic, and other cancers. The USDA attempted to ban the use of sodium nitrate in the 1970s, but met opposition from the U.S. meat industry. So, it's about money, right? The bottom line is, salt is a preservative. It's used to make things last so that they can be reused. Some of the dangers of sodium nitrite or nitrate is, according to the J.T. Baker website, inhalation of sodium nitrate can contribute to respiratory distress. This chemical is thought to irritate the lining of the respiratory tract and cause poisoning in the lungs. Also, skin irritation. Skin contact with sodium nitrate may cause skin irritation, including pain and redness. Skin can also readily absorb sodium nitrate, poisoning the body's organs and tissues, according to the J.T. Baker website. Fire and explosion. While sodium nitrate is not ignitable by itself, it can increase the flammability of any combustible material. It can also explode when heated above 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit, or when it comes in contact with chemicals such as ammonia, cyanide, cellulose, and sodium thiosulfate. Water may scatter ignited material containing sodium nitrate. And the other dangers are sodium nitrate is a toxic substance that may irritate the lining of the stomach, esophagus, and mouth. Ingestion may also produce symptoms such as abdominal pain, irregular breathing, nausea, vomiting, convulsions, and coma. A dose of 1 gram to 2 grams is considered lethal. Now, why are we talking about this? What does this have to do with being a Christian? Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Now, that statement implies, how do I want to say this? It doesn't leave a lot of room for interpretation. Salt is a preservative. And now it's used, for some of you who've grown up on farms and you've processed meat, you know, they take salt and they rub it into the meat and they hang it, and it cures the meat, right? And it'll last a long time like that. Well, they've taken the same mindset and they've applied it to almost everything. Salt is used as a preservative. It's in your food. It's in the stuff you drink. It's in the stuff you wear. Salt is just everywhere because it really is a preservative. But what does that have to do with us as Christians? Okay. Does anybody else have a thought on that? Okay. When Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth, what he was saying is, throughout your life, whatever you do, wherever you go, whoever you deal with, you should leave a flavor that is pleasing. Now, I think most of us have eaten something that is just bland. Have you ever looked at something and it looked really good in the plate? And you're thinking, boy, this is really going to taste good. And you can't wait to bite into it. And it conjures up in your mind all kinds of savory. You know what I mean. Well, you cut into it and you put it in your mouth, and what happens? You just like, oh man, this is some of the nastiest stuff. I thought this stuff was going to be, because a lot of it's mental, isn't it? Isn't it? I mean, you look at something and you think this is going to taste good. But because you think that doesn't make it so, does it? When people look at us and we say that we're Christians, does that make us Christ-like? Because we say it? Does it? No. There has to be something more to go with it. So, if people look at us and we're looking like Christians and we're talking like Christians, but we're not acting like Christians, we leave a bad taste in people's minds and in their hearts. And that's what Jesus was saying to his disciples. He said, listen, you are supposed to leave a good taste with people. You're supposed to be savory. You should flavor things in such a way that no matter how direct it is, how corrective it is, it's pleasing. Have you ever heard, or have you ever had somebody chew you out, and they chewed you out in such a way that you liked it? I'm serious. You know, there's two ways to chew people out, right? You can be nasty. And when you get finished, people are so upset, all they remember is that you were the worst person they encountered that day. Or they can do it so nicely that you ask for more. Chew me out some more. That's how we ought to be. Now, Jesus said, when you have lost your flavor, you are good for nothing. That's pretty harsh, isn't it? You all looking at me like, where is he going with this? There's a myth about salt. Let's go back to the health side of this. Salt causes high blood pressure and should be avoided. That's what you hear, right? Let's look at this. The origin. In the 1940s, a Duke University researcher named Walter Kempner, MD, became famous for using salt restriction to treat people with high blood pressure. Now, later studies confirm that reducing salt could help reduce hypertension. Now, what science really shows is this. Large-scale scientific reviews have determined there's no reason for people with normal blood pressure to restrict their sodium intake. Now, if you already have high blood pressure, you may be salt sensitive. And as a result, reducing the amount of salt you eat could be helpful. However, it's been known for the past 20 years that people with high blood pressure who don't want to lower their salt intake can simply consume more potassium-containing foods. Why? Because it's really the balance of the two minerals that matter. Okay. So now we've got salt. And what this implies is that if you eat a lot of salt, you don't really have to stop eating salt for your blood pressure to balance out. You can just take in more potassium, which balances it out. Does that make sense? Because the potassium is what monitors your blood pressure. All right. In fact, Dutch researchers determined that a low potassium intake has the same impact on your blood pressure as high salt consumption does. And it turns out the average guy consumes 3,100 milligrams of potassium a day, which is 1,600 milligrams less than recommended. So you got to have something to mix with salt to make it really effective. So now, if we are salt of the earth, can we do it by ourselves? Can we flavor things by ourselves? No. We need something else, don't we? You know, it's like one of the things, one of the many things that I love about my wife is her cooking. And she has a knack for flavoring. I mean, she can flavor things in such a way that, I mean, it's just really good. She can mix all those spices and things together, and boy, I tell you. Well, when you mix sodium with something else, it should have a good effect. It should be flavorful. It should be savory. It should be good. The bottom line is strive for a potassium-rich diet, which you can achieve by eating a wide variety of fruits, vegetables, and legumes. For instance, spinach, broccoli, bananas, white potatoes, and most types of beans each contain more than 400 milligrams potassium per serving. Potassium is a very important mineral for the proper function of all cells, tissues, and organs in the human body. It is also an electrolyte, a substance that conducts electricity in the body, along with sodium chloride, calcium, and magnesium. Potassium is crucial to heart function and plays a key role in skeletal and smooth muscle contraction, making it important for normal digestive and muscular function. Many foods contain potassium, including all meats, some types of fish, such as salmon, cod, and flounder, and many fruits, vegetables, and legumes. Dairy products are also good sources of potassium. However, having too much potassium in the blood is called what? Hyperkalemia. Having too little is known as hypokalemia. Keeping the right potassium balance in the body depends on the amount of sodium and magnesium in the blood. Too much sodium, common in Western diets that use a lot of salt, may increase the need for potassium. Diarrhea, vomiting, excessive sweating, malnutrition, malabsorption syndromes, such as Crohn's disease, can also cause potassium deficiency, as well as use of a kind of heart medicine called loop diuretics. Now, I want to stop right here for a minute because I don't want to just feed you all this stuff and you thinking, I did not ask for a medical lecture this morning. The reason I'm saying all this is because we tend to identify with things that are common to us. A lot of people have high blood pressure and they take all kinds of medications. We're on all kinds of special diets. And as Seventh-day Adventists, we especially adhere to a diet that is supposed to bring some balance to our lives and make us a lot healthier and therefore be a good example to the world. As a matter of fact, we are known as Seventh-day Adventists for our health message. Amen? So, what does this have to do with being salty Christians? Well, you've got salt. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. But you have to have something to mix with the salt that makes it effective. One of the things they do with salt, there are two kinds of salt that are pretty common for us. One is table salt. Now, almost everybody knows what table salt is, right? And then there's curing salts. Now, the curing salts are such that so that you and I can tell the difference, they diet, they dye the salt pink so that you can tell this is curing salt, which means it is not to be consumed, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Because you're going to take that same salt and rub it on the meat that you're going to eat. Go figure. But the reason I'm saying this is because what colors constitute pink? Red and white. White salt, red blood. We're the salt of the earth. And when we use our saltiness, depending upon the blood of Jesus, we can rub people the right way. We can send a message to the world. Number one, whose side we're on, why are we on that side, and by our lives, how we treat people, how people feel once they've had an encounter with us. That's the message that we want to send. And that's what Jesus was telling his disciples. He said, you're the salt of the earth. And you need to act like that. Now, you've seen salt that has been spread on the highway, right? Now, they don't really use a lot of salt content like they used to years ago. It used to be pretty salt, and it kind of tore up cars and vehicles. But they mix it with some sand and some other stuff now, fiberglass and something else. But there's salt there. And it starts out being white. But after it's run over 100,000 times, what does it look like then? Kind of black and brown and doesn't look good, does it? And guess where it goes? On your vehicle, on your shoes, in your house, on your carpets, and your floors, and it has the same effect there as it has on your car. And if you leave salt on your car long enough, you know what happens to it. What does that have to do with being a Christian? You and I have to determine where we go, where we walk, who we have contact with, what we pick up. The Bible says that we are changed by what? Beholding. And I can tell you from experience, if you look at the wrong things long enough, if you listen to the wrong things long enough, you may think that you're not affected. But you wait until the right moment comes along, and the stuff that comes out of you will amaze you. And even you will be asking yourself, where did that come from? I didn't think I was capable of such nastiness. So what you behold has a lot to do with how you respond to things. Being the salt of the earth is a privilege. Some of the greatest cooks that are celebrated are the ones who have perfected how to cook things so that they are so savory that it almost melts in your mouth. And they learn how to season things so that they are palatable. And it takes sometimes years of experimenting to become a good chef. And some of you know what that's about. You might maybe worked in the food industry. Or just cooking at home. You've experimented with the different things until you just got it right. Well, in the Christian life, we do that too. We don't start out being as salty as we need to be. Because we've learned from our talk here that too much salt is not good for you. Right? And if you get too much salt, you have to balance it with what? With what? Potassium. But if you get too much potassium, is that good for you? So, is it fair to say that too much of a good thing sometimes is not good for you? So, then let me ask you this question. Is too much of Jesus good for you? No such thing, is it? Can't have too much Jesus, can you? So if Jesus says that you are the salt, he's not just talking about any kind of salt, then is he? He's talking about a certain kind of salt that strikes the right balance. It has the right amount of potassium, has the right amount of nitrates. There's a balance. You and I are most effective when we have balance in our lives. That's what Jesus was. Jesus had balance, right? He wasn't extreme in anything. Now, are we extreme in things that we do? More often than not, right? It's because we don't have balance. Ye are the salt of the earth. The most important use of potassium is to treat the symptoms of hypokalemia, which is low potassium, which include weakness, lack of energy, muscle cramps, stomach disturbances, an irregular heartbeat, and an abnormal EKG, which is an electrocardiogram, a test that measures heart function. Hypokalemia is usually caused by the body losing too much potassium in the urine or intestines. It's rarely caused by a lack of potassium in the diet. Hypokalemia can be life-threatening and should always be treated by a doctor. So when you and I have an imbalance, we need to be treated, don't we? Because we should have enough salt and enough potassium and enough of all those things. Salt. Well, let's see what the Spirit of Prophecy says. Spirit of Prophecy says it's not God's will that we should exclude ourselves from the world. Now, a lot of us think that being good Christians, that in order to keep from being contaminated, we should just get out of the way. Right? I mean, I've heard people say, you know what, I am not going to go and mix with those people. I wouldn't be caught dead with them. I don't mess with those kind of people. They want to be excluded. Or they say, I don't do that. I don't do missions. I don't do prayer meetings. I mean, I go to church. I pay my offering. I return a faithful tithe. And that's good enough. I don't have to do anything else. Well, what about being salt? Now, the one good thing about salt is, if salt just sits there, it's still salt, isn't it? Think about that for a minute. Salt that sits there is just salt. In order for it to be useful, it has to be mixed with something. Right? Did I lose you? But while in the world, we should sanctify ourselves to God. We should not pattern after the world. We are to be in the world as a corrective influence, as salt that retains its savor. Among an unholy, impure, idolatrous generation, we are to be pure and holy, showing that the grace of Christ has power to restore in man the divine likeness. We are to exert a saving influence upon the world. And that's from Councils on Health, page 592. She further says, when God compares his children to salt, he would teach them that his purpose in making them the subjects of his grace is that they may become agents in saving others. Salt must be mingled with the substance to which it is added. It must penetrate, infuse it, that it may be preserved. Think about that. So it is through personal contact and association that men are reached by the saving power of the gospel. They are not saved as masses, but as individuals. Personal influence is a power. You can be salty and be all by yourself and be good for nothing. In order for salt to be good, it has to be mixed. You got to get in and out there and mix it up. You've got to spend time with people. And you've got to be kind, and you've got to be patient and understanding. And you've got to be merciful, just like God is merciful to you and I. Everybody doesn't look the same, and we certainly don't act the same. But there's something about being a salty Christian that will set you and I apart from the rest of the world. It doesn't mean that you and I are perfect. All it simply means is that we are using what God has given us, and it's free. When Jesus spoke to his disciples, it didn't require any extra conferment. He just said, "You are the salt of the earth." And then he went on to qualify that by saying, "But if salt has lost its flavor, then the only thing it's good for is to be thrown out and cast up under the feet of men." So in order for you and I to be good for something, we've got to be salty Christians. I was thinking this week about how we can be effective just in the little places that we have influence. Having a powerful influence can go a long way, right? Because you can affect one person who can affect somebody else's life, 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 until you reach places that you never thought could be reached. And you can reach people that you never thought you would ever reach. Just simply by being what Jesus said you and I should be, salty. This church, in closing, is placed in a strategic environment. We happen to be in a city that we're the only Seventh-day Adventist church here. And the influence that we have been able to make, a lot of it through the Good Neighbor House, through the Bible studies, through the programming that we have here. But is that enough? We have nursing home ministries. We have prison ministries. Is that enough? You don't know? So, who should be salty Christians? And if everybody is a salty Christian, then who else should be involved in Bible study? Who else should be involved in prison ministry? Who else should feed the hungry? Well, I lost you there, huh? You see, it's not just the corporate church. It's not just the committees and the directors of departments. It's every individual. What makes this church a church are the people. But it's when we come together collectively and do what's right, God will bless you beyond your wildest imagination or dreams. If you don't have enough salt, get some. And the only place you can get it is from the Lord. You can't get it from me. I can't get it from you. But we can all get it from the Lord. And we can be effective, purposeful, salty Christians. I never try to close out a message without offering to someone, to anyone, an opportunity to come to the Lord. And I've had people say that the reason I didn't make a decision is because nobody asked me. Well, I'm asking this morning if there's somebody, anybody here, who has decided that they need to change, that the side of Christ is better than the side that they're on, that God has made such a difference in their lives that they want all of it. Is there anybody this morning? I'd like for you to stand. And as we sing song number 309, I'd like for you to think about what it is today that you are willing to surrender to God. Now, I don't know about you, but I have learned that. Please come. I don't know about you, but I have learned that the stuff that I have is not good enough. And it's only then because of the things that I have been willing to surrender to the Lord that has made a difference. Let's sing the first verse.
to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
I want you to look at the people who have come this morning. And I'd like for you to remember them in prayer. Because when you make a decision to surrender all, to throw everything that you have away and take on everything that Jesus said you need to be like Him, Satan doubles and triples his efforts to make sure that that doesn't happen. And the only thing that counters that is Christians doubling and tripling their efforts through prayer to shield people who have made that decision and to shield us. Pray for each other like you have never prayed before. And pray for Alan and for Dina. And Kay, and Alan, and Chris, and Travis, and Larry, and Bob, and Amy, everybody. Remember the people that you normally don't think about, to pray for them, and see what difference it will make. Dear Father, we are so thankful that in and of ourselves we can do nothing. Were it left to us, we would just mess up everything. But You have opened up a way that will lead us straight to the throne of God if we trust You. And often, Lord, You make a way out of no way. When we are short-sighted and no-sighted, when we're confused and distressed and discouraged, You provide a way, because You promise that there is no circumstance, no situation that has overtaken us that is not common to everybody. But in that situation, You have made a way for us to escape. Help us this morning, Lord, to escape all of the fiery darts of the devil. Bless this church, Lord, and every member. Infuse us with whatever we need so that we can be salty Christians. That wherever we go, we will leave a savory taste not so that it will point to us, but that it will point to you. And you will be given the honor and the glory and the praise. Now be with us, Lord, ere we leave this place. Go before us. And may your holy angels encamp round about us, that on every front we will be shielded. And especially those who are weak right now, who are struggling. Provide extra protection for them, Lord, according to your promise that you have provided a way out. Bless our coming week. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.